Okay, good. So the next argued case, number 21-2312, Hyundai Electric and Energy Systems against the United States. Mr. Liberta.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. Substantial evidence supports Commerce's first remand determination that Hyundai did not cooperate with the best of its ability in the review and total adverse facts available was appropriate. Court of International Trade substituted its judgment for that of the Commerce Department when it instructed Commerce to apply only partial neutral facts available rather than total adverse facts available. This dispute arose because Commerce found that Hyundai had treated parts differently in the reporting of its home market sales, and so it sent out a request for five documents for five home market sales. Commerce found that Hyundai omitted from the reported price in certain sales home market in-scope merchandise, thereby understating the home market price and resulting in an understatement of dumping margin had they used those sales for the calculation. The CIT agreed with Commerce that the missing information should have been reported and that Commerce was not required to seek additional.
Can I ask you a couple questions just about the facts? As I understand it, Hyundai provided six sequences, right, six sales, and there was a finding of errors, I think two errors in one of those sales. Do I have that correctly?
You do, Your Honor. The nature of the error was methodological nature, and where Commerce and the CIT differ is that Commerce treated the mistake as methodological and likely affecting a significant portion of the home market sales database that was not documented, and as evidence of failure to cooperate, what was CIT viewed Hyundai's mistake as limited.
I'm on a conference call. Can I call you back?
And potentially affecting only a few sales rather than evidence of a broader failure to cooperate. The record shows, however, that Hyundai's reporting error arose because Hyundai misunderstood, misapplied, or ignored the scope language that any merchandise attached to, imported with, or invoiced with the active parts of the transformer were in scope merchandise. Its price should be included in the reported gross unit price for the transformer. And in fact, Hyundai confirmed in its brief to this court that it believed in good faith that the parts were non-foreign-like product and misreported accordingly. This confirms the mistake was methodological.
What is the significance of it being just one sale? I mean, as I understand it, the CIT was concerned that there wasn't substantial evidence for a total adverse facts available determination or total facts available determination. Instead, it should have been maybe partial because of the, disconnect between the number of errors, which was just two in one sale, versus the amount of data provided. That's kind of how I understand it. And so what do you say about how that line should be drawn, and what sort of evidence do you think there is that's, anyway, just where should we draw that line? I guess the biggest question.
So it depends on what the kind of mistake is. In this case, it was methodological, meaning it could be inferred that it was applied across all reporting as opposed to some sort of one-off mistake. It was, and Hyundai admits, it misapplied the scope in deciding what to report. And so the substantial evidence that Commerce found that led it to treat this as methodological instead of a simple one-off mistake was that, you know, first it said there was inconsistent reporting. Then it looked at the actual sales documentation. The sales documentation for that sale said these parts were part of the main transformer, thereby leaving the scope language of being part of, connected to, invoiced with, et cetera.
However, is the record evidence on how many other sales had those parts, those two parts?
We don't know. First of all, it's a misapplication of the scope. So there could have been other similar parts that were connected to, invoiced with, et cetera, with the sale. So limiting the inquiry to just those two parts is not broad enough, and that was part of Commerce's concern. They couldn't know what they didn't know about those other sales. I mean, the Chief Judge Barnett specifically, you know, said, well, it's kind of speculative as to whether, but it's speculative to say that there was no evidence that there were likely other misreporting when Hyundai had said, we misapplied the scope, we misunderstood the scope. And so there could have been, and Commerce pointed out, they didn't know how many change orders there were in the undocumented sales, which was a significant portion of the sales. They didn't know what other parts might similarly have been misapplied based on Hyundai's misreading or misapplication of the scope. And it's important to remember, too, that this wasn't the first administrative review in which Hyundai was interpreting the scope. It was the fourth.
What legal authority do you have to assert that Commerce can rely on misreporting in prior review periods to infer that a party didn't act to the best of its ability?
I think we have that on pages 18 and 19 of our brief, but it is this court said in the SFK case that it is relevant for the court to look at and for Commerce to look at the knowledge and experience of a respondent when it's applying AFA to determine whether it's acted to the best of its ability. And in this case, in the immediate prior review, the court found that Hyundai had made similar errors of of inconsistencies and misreporting and applied AFA, and this court on Rule 36 supported that, based
on
the
judge's. But in Rule 36, we can't read Rule 36 affirmances as suggesting that we've affirmed on all grounds, right?
No, we can't. But the Court of International Trade found that it did create a similar mistake, and Commerce is entitled to take that into account when deciding whether Hyundai had given its
did
best.
Did Commerce, though, take that into account? I didn't see Commerce relying on that at all in its reasoning for why it was going to determine that Hyundai didn't act to the best of its ability. I don't see that in the Commerce's opinion.
It is, in fact, in the initial determination, and it's mentioned. And
do you want to give me a cite? Maybe I just missed it.
Yep. Let me just find that. If you'll give me a second, I'll get your own. They basically point out in their comment on the first remand determination, 46.
If you said a page number, we did not hear that, counsel.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I think I meant the fall of the evening. I'm looking for that specific finding. In the first remand result at 18, which is appendix 81.
I'm having a hard time hearing you right now. Could you maybe look, maybe if maybe
can you hear me better now, Your Honor?
Yes, that's better. When you're looking forward, it is easier to hear you.
Okay, I appreciate that. Sorry for the inconvenience.
Could you give
so
that
it specifically
again?
Found. The page site is appendix 00081. It's the first remand results at 18 where Commerce found that they committed similar inconsistent treatment of products in the home market in the prior third administrative review, which was affirmed by the Court of International Trade. So that sort of repetition of error indicates at best a pattern of carelessness. And at worst, a more deliberate pattern of misreporting. Repetition of that same sort of error can be taken as substantial evidence that Hyundai was not cooperating to the best of its ability in this review. So, based on this substantial evidence, which Commerce cited of methodological mistakes or carelessness, it would be every bit as speculative for the court to assume that there were no errors in the larger pool of undocumented sales. And more critically, The burden of providing the complete and accurate record lay on Hyundai, the party in control of that information. The gap in the record, which was an inability to determine the accuracy of the undocumented sales in light of the evidence of methodological or careless errors, was caused by Hyundai's failures to properly apply the scope. The corollaries to Commerce's obligation to calculate an accurate dumping margin is that the respondent has to fully and completely report and accurately report its requested data, and where it does not, it can't be allowed to benefit from its own lack of cooperation. And that's enshrined as an important part of the explanation for the AFA provision in the Statement of Administrative Action to the statute. The entire efficacy of the law depends on this, and Commerce was entitled to determine, based on that evidence, that, in fact, Hyundai had not met its burden. If it hadn't met its burden here, then it hadn't met its burden in terms of 19 U.S.C. 1677 M.E. either, another point that the court took.
Other than the history that you cite, what, if any, other evidence is there that Hyundai failed to cooperate to the best of its ability in this review?
Well, there's the, it said that it applied the scope language in making its determinations of what to report.
Right, but what is there to support a finding that that was anything other than a good faith mistake?
Well, one, good faith is, intent is not something that the statute recognizes under the Nippon standard. It's whether you made your best effort. Being just because they say it's in good faith, when you look at the when you look at their sales document, that sales document specifically said they handed that document to Commerce, and they never pointed out that, oh, we made an error, and now we would like, Commerce had to point that error out to them. I would liken this case closer to a case I know Judge Phil's familiar with, the Goodluck case, that they failed to follow an instruction of Commerce. It was methodological, and therefore they failed to follow the instruction, which was the scope instruction of what should be in and what should be reported. And having failed to do that, it was fair for Commerce to be concerned that the rest of the undocumented sales were similarly not accurately reported in this case. I see that I've used most of my rebuttal time. Unless the court has other questions, I'll reserve the remainder of my time.
We'll save your time. Is there anything else you need to tell us at the moment?
No, Your Honor. I think I've covered the main points that I intended to do with the court.
Okay, thank you. We'll hear from the other side.
Mr.
Kinsler, if you're ready.
Thank you, Judge Newman. May it please the court. Your Honors, appellant asks the court to issue a drastic decision permitting the Commerce Department to reject the entirety of Hyundai's reporting in light of a limited aspect of one sale that accounted for a minor portion of the price of that sale. This is fundamentally unreasonable, particularly because appellant's argument is based entirely on speculation, and it fails to support that argument with any evidence on the record. In light of the record, in light of the standard of review, and in light of the CIT's informed opinion based on a detailed review of the record, the only reasonable outcome is to affirm Commerce's second remand and reject appellant's appeal in its entirety.
Can we consider Commerce's historical experience with Hyundai and other administrative reviews?
Your Honor, we cannot. Under the relevant legal authority, the Commerce is required to take only the evidence on the record of the immediate proceeding into account. In fact,
What legal authority are you referring to?
Thank you, Your Honor. Let me just...
I figured you were going to get to it.
Yes. The case that is relevant... is Qingdao Sea Lion Trading Company v. United States from this court in 2014, 76 F3rd, 1378, 1387. Quote, each administrative review is a separate exercise of Commerce's authority that allows for different conclusion based on different facts in the record.
Was that a case that dealt with specifically whether Commerce was able to look at a party's behavior and prior reviews to determine either whether facts available would apply or whether adverse facts available would apply or how to estimate that party's sales numbers make an inference, an adverse inference, for example?
Thank you, Judge Stoll. I do not offhand recall if it was an AFA case in particular. However, the legal standard applies irrespective of the facts of the case, which is the review must stand on its own. It's one review, and that's the record that Commerce can look to. Here, there is nothing on the record aside from the one document that the Court of International Trade concluded justified limited use of neutral facts available would justify total facts available or an adverse inference. The case must stand on the record. And again, appellant has failed to cite to any evidence on the record. I didn't hear one citation to the appendix of the administrative record, aside from the single document at issue, that suggests that there is any kind of broad methodological undermining of the reliability of Hyundai's evidence at issue here. So even though this court reviews de novo the Commerce determination, it does take the CIT's decision, it gives it great weight to its informed opinion, and it is always the starting point of its deliberation of the case. And in this case, the CIT looked at that record. Hyundai submitted complete data for the entirety of its home market sales database. It submitted thousands of sales documents at Commerce's request that supported over half of the sales in the database. And yet only one sale, two components of one sale reflected in one document, supported the CIT's conclusion that partial facts available were warranted, and that substantial evidence did not support total facts available.
Just for clarity on the facts, I'm a little confused only because I thought that they were asked for five sequences and they provided six, and now you were saying an entire database full of lots of sales. Could you give a little bit more detail on how many sales we're talking about? Are
Certainly.
We really talking about six, or are we talking about hundreds?
Certainly, Judge Stoll. Thank you. There's a total of 25 transformers sold through 17 sales on the record, right? That's the entirety of the data submitted by Hyundai, and that's standard. In any administrative review, Commerce will sometimes ask for documents to support that reporting. Now, appellant cited documents for six sales, and that's correct. There are an additional eight sales to which Commerce asked for documentation throughout the course of the administrative review. So that's how we reach over half of the database, over half of the transactions and the transformers. Again, of all those documents, it's only one document, two components, less than 10% of the gross unit price for that transformer. Everything else that appellant talks about in terms of a methodological decision is simply not supported by any record evidence, either the documents that are on the record or the other sales for which there are documents not on the record. And both the courts and Commerce have recognized when there is a limited error, that does not justify total facts available. The Court of International Trade called it impermissible bootstrapping in Fujian to derive the conclusion that from one error, the entirety of a sales database is unusable. In fact, Commerce itself, in other administrative proceedings, has found that when there is one error, it does not justify total facts available. And that ties directly to the legal standard for total versus partial.
It isn't a bright line rule, though. I mean, I understand what you're saying. In the context of some other cases, though, would you agree that maybe one incorrect sale provision could result in total facts available, but in this case, it doesn't? I mean, I question whether a bright line rule really could apply, although I understand the point of your argument.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'm not advocating for a bright line rule, but these cases are extremely fact specific. And the fact remains that based on other court cases, other Commerce precedent, we have not seen an instance, or appellant has not cited an instance, nor again cited any record evidence here, where that single sale could lead to total facts available. I would direct Your Honor to Mukand, which this court affirmed in 2014, where the Court of International Trade concluded, and this court agreed, that total facts available is appropriate where none of the reported data is reliable because of pervasive and persistent deficiencies. partial facts available, conversely, is permissible where there is a deficiency only with respect to a discrete category of information. And so here, there's no widespread cross-cutting deficiency that appellant has successfully pointed to based on record evidence. And indeed, it's telling that a lot of what appellant argues, both in its briefs and today before the court, relies on rote recitation of language from Commerce's first remand that the Court of International Trade itself found to be unsupported by substantial evidence. The notion that there's this discrete limited issue that otherwise underscored a significant gap in the record. The idea that Hyundai misread the scope of the anti-dumping duty order, or that there was, quote, no basis in the record to calculate gross unit prices for the majority of sales. The Court of International Trade rejected all of these broad conclusory statements as unsupported by substantial evidence because they were speculative. As this state court stated in Lucent Technologies, it is well established that speculation does not constitute substantial evidence. In fact, we would direct the court to the portion of the CIT's opinion in Hyundai 2, included at pages 156 to 157 of the appendix, where the CIT explained, from its detailed review of the administrative record involving two remands, that the sale at issue amounted to, quote, a limited portion of the document-supported home market sales. Quote, it is not clear how these two sales undermined the reliability of other documented sales which did not include parts A or B, and that Commerce's decision to apply total facts available on this basis, quote, is simply unsupported speculation and not supported by substantial evidence. In sum, the record evidence demonstrates that total FA is not warranted. Appellant, again, has failed to cite to any of the record beyond the limited narrow document for that one sale, and this court should affirm the second remand with respect to the question of total facts available. Just one last point with respect to total facts available. Appellant cited 19 U.S. Code 1677 M.E. We would again point this court to the Court of International Trade, which summarily demonstrated and discussed how Commerce failed to address whether Hyundai's home market sales information did not meet these criteria, went on to discuss how much of Hyundai's information did meet those criteria, and ultimately, as appellant itself acknowledges by citing State Farm, where Commerce's decision-making process is reasonably discernible, then a court shall uphold it. But as appellant concedes, Commerce itself didn't even cite to that portion of the statute. And although appellant attempts to demonstrate how it satisfied it, this is nothing more than post hoc rationalization.
If we were to determine we could consider the historical experience of Commerce with Hyundai, do we have the record in front of us to do that?
As far as I'm aware, on the appendix submitted to the court, the record from all the different reviews that appellant is citing to is not before this court. And again, looking to the prior jurisprudence discussed in King Dao as well as Norsk Hydrocan, a decision from this court in 2006, this court should not consider that under the appropriate legal standard. Second, we'd like to talk about an adverse inference. There is no legal or factual basis for the application of an adverse inference in this case. Now, to apply an adverse inference, as appellant cited, there's the case of Nippon Steel from this court, which states that Commerce may apply an adverse inference where a respondent fails to act to the best of its ability, and what Commerce must do is, quote, examine the respondent's actions and assess the extent of respondent's abilities, efforts, and cooperation. An adverse inference may not be drawn merely from a failure to respond, but only under circumstances in which it is reasonable for Commerce to expect more forthcoming responses. We also contest appellant's statement that good faith is wholly irrelevant. There's a line of cases from the Court of International Trade, Melex USA, Mitsui Company, and Bowie Passat, all which explicitly tie the concept of good faith to cooperation to the best of one's ability, even recognizing that there's no intent requirement in the statute. For example, in Mitsui and Company, the court stated, quote, the record reflects that plaintiffs attempted in good faith to cooperate in this extraordinary review. In Bowie Passat, Bowie cooperated fully, providing detailed responses in apparent good faith. So when we consider the legal standard for adverse facts available, as well as the facts in this case, we see that they have not been met. As an initial matter, the first remand that appellant asks you to restore does not contain the necessary more. Commerce did not do more than otherwise state at Appendix 81 to 82 that Hyundai had the opportunity to provide the information and possessed it, but did not provide it. Again, the failure to provide information is the standard for neutral facts available.
And they did not rely on any prior history with respect to making that determination on adverse facts available.
Aside from the recitations that appellant's counsel noted where it said, oh, we recognize or we believe that because Hyundai did this in similar reviews, we're not going to believe it now. No, I mean, this quote relates to what Hyundai did on the record of this review. And that's the only information that's relevant, Judge Soule. Even beyond the legal standard of doing more, the facts also do not support an adverse inference. Again, the CIT, which reviewed this record in detail, explained and noted that Hyundai, quote, provided documentation for certain home market sales and a complete breakdown between the merchandise that was in scope and out of scope, along with detailed narrative explanation and supporting documentation for the relevant categorization. So the record makes clear that rather than being uncooperative, Hyundai had, again, a good faith belief that these components were not foreign-like products, and it explained why. And you can see that explanation, for example, at Appendix 12,841 to 12,848, using numerous technical documents to show that, in Hyundai's view, these parts were not under the scope of the order. Now, the Court of International Trade understood this, and because of that, it correctly concluded that Hyundai fully responded to all of Commerce's requests and merely maintained a good faith position with which the department ultimately disagreed. Disagreement is not a legitimate legal basis for the application of an adverse inference. Finally, and briefly, we just want to note that the Court of International Trade here, contrary to appellant's argument, properly applied the standard of review. Appellant's argument puts forth the idea that the Court of International Trade exceeded its authority. However, this court should reject that argument. For example, appellant notes Nippon Steel, a different Nippon Steel from this court from 2006, in which this court stated that under the substantial evidence standard, when adequate evidence exists on both sides, assigning evidentiary weight falls exclusively within the authority of the department. That holding is correct, but it doesn't apply here, because that evidence does not exist on both sides of the issue, as we've discussed at length and as the Court of International Trade concluded. The Court of International Trade wrestled with this evidence over the course of two remands. It dug into the record and it found that based on the substantial evidence, Chief Judge Barnett noted that evidence was insufficient to justify total facts available, it was insufficient to justify an adverse inference, and he therefore gave the only proper instructions that he could under the standard of review, to calculate a margin using partial, neutral facts available. That is not a substitution of judgment. It's a proper analysis under the substantial evidence standard of review, and Hitachi has presented no compelling reason for vacating that judgment. With that, Your Honors, unless there are any further questions, we respectfully request that this court affirm the Court of International Trade and uphold the second remand, thereby rejecting Hitachi's appeal in its entirety. Thank you.
Any further questions for counsel?
No.
No.
Okay, thank you. Then we'll hear rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor. Yes, the CIT rejected Commerce's position as speculative, and that's why this court has de novo review of what the Commerce Department did. And under Altex, this court can't uphold the first administrative or the first remand determination. What I like to use my time doing now is to talk about what that substantial evidence is, because I disagree strongly with my esteemed colleague. I disagree with my esteemed colleague on the other side of the bench that there was no substantial evidence on this record. First, there was evidence of inconsistency in reporting. In this review, they admit that they misapplied the language of the scope on the record here, and their documentation, their sales documentation, shows they did. Despite that, they continue to argue that the scope language should have allowed it to be in. The Court of International Trade found they were wrong about that, and they have not appealed that issue. It ignored its own sales document. And in terms of the experience from the previous reviews, Commerce specifically cited it as a reason that it was that it could not take at face value the things that were reported. And under this court's decision in Via Cero, The court found that it was appropriate to apply adverse inferences where a respondent was an experienced company that participated in prior administrative reviews and is knowledgeable of the process and understands what is required to be prepared to participate and provide complete and reliable responses. So the Commerce Department did cite to that as a reason, and there is precedent for it doing that. And then the reporting error here, kind of reporting error that's involved, that's important. This is methodological, and Commerce could determine that across the industry or across the record that a same sort of error could have occurred. I see my time is up. I appreciate the court's indulgence for allowing me to appear via video, and to the clerk's office, my thanks for their assistance in helping me do that. Thank you.
Let me ask if there are any questions from the panel.
No, thank you.
Okay, then our thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under submission, and that concludes the argued cases for this panel for today.